Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast, where every week for the last 14 weeks, I've come to you and given you everything you need to know about season 9 of OG 90 Day Fiancé. We're here today to talk about episode 15. It's about to get to wedding season. Maybe we've already seen one happen and a lot more in between. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Puyi Zanvakile, here and ready to break it all down for you. Now, before I introduce my amazing guest, I want to put something out there for y'all to note that this week we will not have any Love in Paradise coverage at the end of the podcast. I do apologize if you were heavily anticipating to find out what's been going on with Carlos and Valentine, with Johan and Danielle, but a lot went down this week for me, so I was not able to sit down and record it. I will get back to you next week with two episodes of that. Also, I'm going to watch 90 Day Fiancé UK, which premiered this week, How did that happen and I didn't know about it? So I'm going to check that out and see if that's worth talking about, and then we'll decide where we're going with that, okay? And I need a name for the segment at the end of these podcasts. So if you have a suggestion, find me on Twitter at Puyism. Let me know, because that would be much appreciated. But anyway, we're here to talk about episode 15. So without any further ado, let me introduce my amazing guest for this episode. She is an amazing podcaster who has been here before. She was here with me in the early days of the season, I believe episode 2 of the season. She was here last time. 14 episodes later, here she is once again. Of course, the host of the Married at First Sight Wrap Up, also known as now A Perfect Match, the Married at First Sight podcast over here on RHAP. It is the one, nay, the only Asia Welsh in the building. Asia, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. What a great introduction. I'm so happy to be here. I feel like so much has happened since episode 2, so I can't wait to talk about it. But I will say, I was looking over this contract that you sent over to me before I came on the podcast, and I noticed these lines that talked about how if someone hears me on this podcast and I make it big because of this specific podcast, that you get credit for it. You get something.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you are a guest, but at the end of the day, you are also, you know, we have invested in you here in this podcast. So if you were to grow off the investment that we've done by bringing you in as a guest, then over here on the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up, we get a bit of a kickback, or at the very least, we get our investment. I hate that I'm Bilal in this story. This is awful. I don't even want to play into the joke because I'm Bilal in this scenario.
You feel icky just playing the role.
I did. I was like, oh, there's no way I can spin this to make myself feel good. Nope, I hate this.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, the nerve of that guy. But yes, I can't wait to talk about it. I mean, so much has happened. So much has happened this season. But I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm happy to have you back here with us, Asia. You are right. A lot has happened. A lot of ups, but then a lot of samey. Everyone's on the same path. We feel the same about everybody. The power rankings have kind of reflected that throughout the season with a lot of these couples. This episode might have changed my mind on some of them, and I'm very excited to break it all down with you. Now, at the top of the show, I want to look at the episode 2 power rankings we did with you, and just kind of like we'll have it in the back of our heads as we proceed. Okay. So in episode 2, we had 5 couples on. In last place, we had Bilal and Shaida. Fourth place was Emily and Kobe. Third place were Jibri and Miona. Second place was Even Muhammad. And first place was Kara and Guillermo. Okay. So we'll earmark that. We'll get back to that at the end of the podcast when we do our power rankings, but just for reference. We're going to kick off today with Emily and Kobe. Now, Emily and Kobe are 5 days away from getting married. We are also very close. Everyone except for Even Muhammad are within single digits at this point of getting married. So the last time we saw them, Temperature, Kobe's friend, was there for lunch with the family and said a lot of out-of-pocket stuff about how he is the man and he should be controlling, like he should have his way with the family, and like he should be in control and he shouldn't listen, and no one was biting. It was very awkward, but they're still hanging out together, which could be good or bad. But in this instance specifically, Temperature is giving him more information about Columbus. Yeah, you know where I come from, like there is a big Cameroonian community. Like, there's a lot of people that you could get to know there. This could be a good idea for you to move there potentially. And Asia, what are your thoughts on our buddy temperature here?
You know, it's an odd situation because, of course, Kobe feels so comfortable with temperature. Like, this old friend, this is his family away from home, right? So of course he wants to be closer to him, but it's like temperature has no read on the situation, nor has Kobe informed him of the situation. Like, it's very clear Kobe has not clearly outlined, you know, the dynamic of him and Emily's relationship, what things are like, what to, you know, tread lightly on, what they're working on, what they should keep between just them. So temperature, I mean, I feel like he's coming in as a concerned friend. You know, he's looking out for his friend Kobe, but then it's just like, but have you met Emily? You know, like, obviously Kobe has not filled him in on how Emily is, and it's only causing trouble as if they needed more problems.
Yeah, I truly do feel like what has happened here that I could see being done wrong is that I don't think Kobe quite explained his situation. So when Kobe comes in and he kind of doesn't seem happy, of course, temperature is going to completely steer into, let me help you and let me bring you out of your funk.
Exactly.
But, you know, he has no idea how Emily is. And I don't think he's realized who he's up against, because Emily will not take anything sitting down here. So when it came to all of this discussion, it was one of those things where I just felt very awkward, very, yes, very awkward with this interaction. Because again, temperature has no chill. He's temperature. Temperatures are at a high, not cold with him. So he has no chill with her. And it's very weird because Emily obviously doesn't know him that well, so she's not going to really take it out on him. Instead, she's going to take it out on Kobe in front of him, which kind of feeds into what temperature's saying. So I just didn't want to be in this room.
Exactly. And of course, Emily does the one just like ignorant thing that I just hate that any American does when people are speaking a foreign language, of just, English, please. It's just like, no. There's so many other ways to go about just, hey, I want to be able to understand what's going on in this conversation, rather than trying to be so rude about them not speaking English in that moment. So that was annoying.
Yeah, because I will say, as someone who does speak other languages, I've definitely, like, when I have hung out with my sister, or like my mom's with us, and either like when Liana's hung out with them, or any of our other friends have been around us, when myself and my mom speak Farsi, we definitely recognize, like, if I'm speaking Farsi to my sister, my mom will be like, it's rude to speak Farsi when everyone else can understand you, so don't do that. But like you said, it's the way she says, yes, it that kind of makes it seem like, I'm sorry, we only speak English in this car. English, mm-hmm, is the only accepted language here. And it's not so much a, hey, can you speak in English, I can understand what you're saying as well. I feel left out or something.
Right.
The
delivery, it matters. And so it was just, I felt like everybody was in the wrong in this conversation in the car. But I will say, temperature had a point bringing up how Emily is constantly making decisions without discussing it with Kobe. And it's just like, you know, and I think he brought it up like once they made it to the house, but like, that is important. That just shows, which has showed us the whole season, that she just has a lack of respect from Kobe. That is just not, like, they're doomed from the start if she never can get to a point of respecting him as her partner.
Yeah, I feel like from the beginning, Kobe has been treated with this, like the way he's treated, it gives that Emily does not trust him to get anything done. Does, mm-hmm, not give him the respect that he is more than capable of carrying his own. And that is not a good place to be, especially when not only do you have baby number one, you have baby number two on the way, mm-hmm, and you're about to get married, and you're about to go on this, you know, journey together as a team, as a family. And you are going to need to rely on each other, and you simply have to let Kobe be a part of this relationship. You cannot control everything. That's just not going to be doable, or should it be like that ever? Now, We did discuss this on the next time on last week, but temperature lets it slip that there is going to be a second baby. And I swear, the minute it came out of Temperature's mouth, you could see in Emily's eyes, she was like, oh my God, the perfect exit plan. I can now be very angry about this and say that he's violated our trust and leave, which again, he shouldn't have said anything, or he should have maybe told Temperature not to say anything.
Right.
But I felt like, you know, I thought the rule was don't tell anybody meant like the people we live with, because they can't know. And I think this rule was put in place before Kobe had other friends because he doesn't know anybody in Kansas. So to me, I was like, it's kind of a loophole at worst, but she was very upset with it.
Yeah, it's like, dang, Emily, he can't vent to someone. Like, he can't, you are not his only source of communication. He has to be able to talk to people about this. If he doesn't have anybody in his circle to talk to, you're not the only person he can resolve this with and talk to about it. There sometimes needs to be an outside party that sees things that you cannot see. And so I think, you know, the missing piece of this was Kobe saying, Temperature, we are not telling anybody, but I have to tell you, but do not ever bring this up to Emily. Because he brought it up so casually, so it was clear that was not a very important detail of conversation him and Kobe had.
No, and now it is a cause for some drama potentially here, because again, this has been brought up. She's not happy. She is now feeling like Kobe is going to start changing before her eyes, because now she feels like maybe I'm seeing a new side to Kobe that I wasn't seeing before, and again, when it came to the talk of moving, she was like, no, we're going to stay here for at least 2 years. Like, that's where I see things going, which I thought, didn't your family make it clear that they do not want to pay for y'all? And you don't really have 2 years here.
Right. Like, and you haven't broken the news about the second baby. And if that was
eviction, eviction.
Exactly. That's literally the single rule that you had. You think if you break that rule, they're just gonna be like, oh yeah, 2 years, stay for as long as you want.
Yeah. So the next scene we see with them is 3 days later. And I'm so mad, Asia. I don't even know how to phrase any of this tonight. I'm in a blender. So, okay. So she is, Emily is picking up stuff around the house, you know, doing some tidy up. She ends up grabbing, Kobe's iPad, and then I guess looks through it and looks through the search history and sees that Kobe has done some searching for apartments in Ohio, specifically some one bedrooms in Ohio, and gets very heated and starts to go confront him. Now, where is Kobe, you ask? He's in the stables. He's feeding the horses, because again, Kobe has been put to work at this house and is, you know, doing what has been expected of him and is doing it well. And she comes in and completely boldly just confronts him as if he's done something very shameful.
I was trying to find the source of her anger, because first of all, he's looking for one bedroom apartments for his family. I'm sorry, but a one bedroom apartment is a-okay for somebody trying to find an affordable place to live for their family. It's not like you're a roommate and y'all are just rolling in dough and can have a three bedroom with a study and, you know, like two living rooms. Like, so that alone was awful. But the fact that she was so upset, I was looking in, I was just plugging in your iPad and found in your search history, you were looking for something to be upset about. I'm sorry. No one is looking in a search history and they're just having a great day. No, you're looking for a reason to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's what you found.
You were gathering evidence. Yes. And you found evidence. You were not just putting stuff away. I'm sorry. I refuse. And that's the thing, is that you still are a single income household, in that outside of the money your family's giving you, you have been working part time, right? She's got, I don't know what she does, but I believe she has a side hustle going on, but he can't work. So he's just doing the sleep, feeding the horses, stuff around the house. So a one bedroom, like you said, is a very feasible way, maybe the starting point to moving out and then later getting into something bigger or a second room getting involved. Obviously not the most ideal when there's a baby plus another on the way, but when you cannot make bigger moves, that move will do. But that's not even the thing I'm annoyed with. I'm annoyed with how rude she is towards him even considering looking at Ohio.
Yeah, it's like, it's as if the nerve of you to even think that that is even a possibility. And just the innocence of his response of just, well, we're still in America, you know, like, it's fine. We're still here. We're just in a different location. And she's just so mad at him that he would even think to look. And I'm like, you don't want to look in my search history on Zillow, because you would think, because I'm looking at, like, you know, any type of, like, I will look at a random house in Colorado just to see what's it like. Does that mean I'm trying to move to Colorado tomorrow? Absolutely not.
You're a Zillow enthusiast, Aisha.
Right, exactly. I scroll Zillow like I scroll Instagram. It's just fun sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And even he was like, yeah, Temperature sent me those links. Like, I got a couple links from Temperature. That's it. And she's like, well, I'm not comfortable moving away from my family, to which you said, he does say, well, we're still in America, which to me is not an invalid answer, because his family's not just in America. He moved like miles for you.
Yes.
So I don't. Interesting. So I went to look at Kansas to Ohio and see how far it is. And it is a 13-hour drive.
Oh,
that is not that bad.
That's like a 2.5-hour flight.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, that he was not in the wrong here. And for her to end this conversation, like, because, you know, his motivation is, look, there's a large Cameroonian community there. That would be great. For her to say, look, we're not moving, so please don't bring it up again. I'm sorry, Emily, what part of this whole exchange was him bringing it up? You went searching in the search history, and then you went walking, I mean, half a mile to him. It seemed like, you know, she probably worked up a sweat if it was a hot day, to confront him about this in the rudest way possible. So he did not bring it up.
I simply feel like if this was more of a, you know, she really doesn't want to move, or she's open to stuff and then maybe they can discuss, I would have been fine with it. But it's the way she like put her foot down and then said, yeah, he was like, yeah, we can talk about this later. She's like, no, I would like to get this done now. I would like to sort this out now. I'm putting my foot down. We're not moving. And please never bring up Ohio again. And to me, that's very clear that she does not care about his wants. He clearly has now been told that there is a community. There's a Cameroonian community in Ohio that he can, you know, be around and, you know, live around. And, you know, that would be something, some connection to back home that he sorely misses. We literally saw in that first episode that we met them when they had gone out for their date night before they went back home, that he was like, oh, there's like, I see one other person that like looks like me here. That's exciting. Yes. He has no one there. He has zero. So I'm mad at Emily. Not like I wasn't before, but it's more so now. I'm so mad.
I'm telling you, I peeped Emily from episode 2 when we were introduced to her. I was like, I do not feel good about this girl. She just, from day one of him arriving in America, she has never once thought about what he wants. It's always about her. And I just feel like, you know, he's in this position where, how do you speak up for what you want when she shoots you down at every chance?
He literally has done nothing but show and try to show and prove his worth, prove that he's capable. Mm-hmm. You know, he went and bought the ring with a quarter of the money he brought, even though he felt like, you know, he had brought that money to provide for them. He still did that. She bought another ring, even though he had done, like, before she knew he had done that, because she didn't believe he could do it. He's been doing that. He's clearly feeding the horses and still doing the house stuff that they have asked of him. And I believe, it seems to me, that he's earned the respect of the dad after their conversation. So the only person that's not giving him that respect or understanding now is Emily. And then on the next time on, it's very clear that Kobe's not going to deal with this anymore. Mm-hmm. He's very much over it. He said that, what he told us in the next time on is he feels doubted still and that he's been trying everything, but he's not seeing himself taking this crap anymore. And they show us a line of him telling Emily, if you can't trust me on the eve of our wedding, F off. Like, which I'm so happy he said that, but also she will be bringing this up till 2032 now.
Oh my God.
It's over for him.
It's a wrap. There's not going to be a 48-hour period that she does not bring this up.
Yeah, no. Anything that happens from here on out, that's the get out of jail free card. Emily's gonna be like, yeah, well, remember when you were super disrespectful and said that to me? And it's not gonna I'm over Emily. I'm over Emily. I said it, it's out there. Now you know. All right. Well, let's move over to Patrick and Thais next, who had just a different story. It felt like I was watching two different Patrick and Thais's over 2 weeks, because last week she finally tells her dad via Zoom, we're getting married. I'm with Patrick. I want to spend my life with Patrick. And the dad was like, lol, no, you're coming home. And also I don't like him. And yeah, buy a ticket now. Get back here. And that put some conflict in Thais's head. She's a little bit more unsure about the decision that she was so certain about, which, hey, Patrick, this is what happens when you push someone to do something they think they know better for and they should know better for, but whatever. They are 10 days away from getting married. And we found out it's been 2 weeks since that scene that we saw. It's been 2 weeks. She's been confused. She's sad. She's missing her dad. Last week, Scally and I speculated that that plane scene might have been her leaving the country. Mm-hmm. We're both idiots. No, this is just a trip to Massachusetts, good old Boston, so that they can meet Patrick's sister and Patrick's mom ahead of the wedding.
And my question about this excursion, which maybe they said it at one point, but I'm not sure. So is the plan to spend this week in Boston and then go directly from Boston to Orlando for the wedding?
That's what it felt like, right? Because the other thing that came up was that his brother was also going to be showing up at some point and then they can go to Orlando. And I think it was also because I think the mom can't make it to the wedding. So they were going to see the mom first, then go. Based on the suitcase they were packing, because
he's like, pack for a bunch of different weather.
Orlando and Boston would be different, right? So I think they're going directly there. And then are they going honeymoon after? This is exhausting. Like to pack for your wedding, your honeymoon, like everything in one go, that's a lot.
Yeah. And the fact that he planned this entire thing, I was like, okay, this checks out, because there's just how do you plan for all of these different climates? And then I also want to know what are they doing with the dog? The dog is staying home with his brother right now while they're in Boston.
Yeah.
But if his brother's going to Orlando, I need to make sure that dog has care.
So, Asia, this show was filmed months ago, so you can't go over and help poor puppy, unfortunately. But I have to imagine one of the buddies that they have, the party bros, is going
to
handle the care, which honestly, yikes. But alas, hopefully, I don't remember the dog's name. You remember the dog's name?
I didn't catch it either, no.
Because I was going to say Cheeky, but that's Karen Guillermo's puppy. So... that is not the name of this one. But yeah, so first of all, you left the dog to John. Also, it turns out Patrick planned the whole thing again, and Thais had no say in this plan. Which, Patrick, when are you going to learn that you have to also listen to your partner? Because she did a Zoom call against her wishes, and you're still making decisions for her. I don't see how that was a one-for-one exchange.
Right. And, pack for a bunch of different weather. Like, that's not the way to pack. Especially when you're hopping on flights, I will for sure be over 50 pounds if I'm just packing for a bunch of different, you know, and I don't know what we're doing. So it's just like, and then I don't know. I don't know how she was supposed to pack appropriately for everything when he's just like, you know, he put everything in his hands, but it could have been a lot more organized in terms of not just packing for every climate.
Yeah. And I do feel like, you've just set yourself up for this trip to, you know, you cannot buy anything. There's no souvenir opportunities because you've had to pack for so many other things. So I don't know about this, but anyway, so they go to Boston to meet up with Patrick's sister and his mom. And we find out that right before the pandemic, they found out that Patrick's mom has lung cancer. And now the doctors have told her that she has less than a year to live. And even though him and his mom had fallen out for a long time, he's very grateful that he's been able to reconnect with her now, which I'm actually, you know, very endearing to hear. Mm-hmm. But so they go over to meet and they meet. First, we meet the sister. So Tiffany's the one who says hello and lets them in. And Tiffany's face, there's a big bruise on it. Turns out Tiffany fell on ice and hurt her eye. So, and I didn't notice it initially because it's on the left side on the right side. I mean, when we first saw her, it was a half profile on the right. So I was surprised to see that.
And the way we found out, the producer, oh, what are you, a MMA fighter or something?
Like, I was like, hey, producer, is so rude. What are you, a comedian? Get out of here.
Exactly. Like, you don't say that. It could have been anything. What if it was just like a skin issue?
Yeah,
you
know, like a more permanent condition or something.
Yes.
Like, and you're making this joke. You know how awkward that would be if it's not? Right. Oh, God.
The only explanation I could think in my mind without just making them, without, you know, making it seem like they're being rude is that they had seen the sister before and then now she, you know, she had the bruises.
Right. So they were like, okay, it's safe to make this total one-liner for the purpose of being comedic behind the scenes.
Right.
Risk well worth it. Oh my God. So then, Asia, what did you feel about seeing Thais meet the family for the first time?
So it felt like she was being very warm and, you know, sweet with them. I thought she did a great first impression with them. I thought that, you know, if they weren't thinking about, you know, ulterior motives or whatever, I felt like she made a great impression. She was being very sweet. She was speaking only in English. And it wasn't until Patrick decided to not read the room and just go ahead and lay it on them that, you know, her dad wasn't approving of this. I felt like this would have been a situation for Patrick and his mom and his sister separately. Like, hey, just so y'all know this situation, without making Thais look like a liar in front of his mom and his sister, because she had already said, like, yeah, my family is supportive. That's like a save face type of answer. Not, oh, this is my first time meeting you, but let me tell you how my dad doesn't approve of this situation. Because, yeah, that'd be a great first thing for you to know about me.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to stuff like this, you 100%, especially when a first impression is happening, as the partner in the relationship, if your partner is meeting your family for the first time, you want your family to have the possible best first impression, right? That's exactly the goal, because that's the foundation you're going to build this on. And like, obviously relationships are never perfect. There's ups and downs. So families might know stuff later, here, there, whatever, at some point. But when you consider the fact that they've just met and now it's like, oh yeah, my family doesn't really like him. Her dad doesn't like me. Doesn't want us to get married. And Thais isn't sure about getting married either. Like, we're in the air right now. Yeah. What confidence does that give your family that you're making the right choice here? It was downhill from there. It was so bad.
Literally. If that's the first thing I'm hearing, then, okay, obviously now my wall is up as a sister and I'm going to be questioning. Okay. Then if your dad doesn't approve, why are you here? What are you doing? But, you know, if you took that away, If Patrick had never, like, I guess, decided to break the news in that moment, they could have had a great time the rest of the episode. But no, he decided this was the perfect place and time, which just set the tone.
Yeah, this is what we needed right here, right now. And obviously, this only puts them off on the wrong foot for then what comes through next, because they're going to go dress shopping. and Thais is going with the sister. So Hannah, the sister, right? Do I have that? No, sorry, Tiffany, the sister. Tiffany, the sister. So they're going dress shopping with Tiffany, and she obviously misses her family and misses being independent. But this is where the sister's doing this thing that every time in 90 Day that the American counterpart, sibling or mother or father or some kind of family member has alone time with, thinks, well, as the relative to your soon-to-be, I have some questions that you must answer because that is how it goes. And proceeds to start asking very deep questions and then later makes a comment about how she didn't like how vague the answers were from Thais, and that might indicate that she's not really in this for the right reasons or she's into him at all. I was like, yeah, when I meet people for the first time, even if I'm really good friends with them, I'm keeping it vague because in person's different. So I don't know what you expected for Thais to do here. You want her to just confess all of her thoughts to you?
Exactly. She was treating this like a job interview for the marriage, right? So it was just like, okay, if she doesn't have the correct answers in this moment, that's a wrap. I don't want her marrying my brother.
Asia, but she said, what do you love about my brother?
Yes.
What do you want her to answer to that? Oh, we had a good time in his Tesla, I'll tell you that much. Like, what do you want her to say? This is, you might not need to know stuff.
Exactly. Like, if I were to ask you right now what you loved about Liana, you would not be able to answer it concisely in the matter of like, oh, well, okay, I'm not going to be able to tell you everything right now. Because, you know, like it, at this point, obviously, there would be so many things to say.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I don't think there's a right answer. I think she's looking for the most possible deep answer, right? Where it's like, I love how caring and supportive he is and how much he, you know, does anything he can to brighten my day and how he's there for me whenever I need it. He's been my support system for so long. But it's, you know, if that's what you're expecting and she doesn't feel that comfortable to talk to you about that, she's like, no, I love him. He makes me laugh and he's very funny. And then that's going to look like it's not a good enough answer. If I told you my favorite thing about Liana is the way she laughs when she's doing podcasts, you'd be like, really? That's what you have to say after 2 years? It's like, well, it's one of the many things I love about her, but there's like over 1,000.
So I'm like, not the answer I was looking for. That's
all right, let me go into the document and pull out reason number 1195. Like, this a goodie.
Like that you said, look, he has a big heart and, you know, I just love him. You know, I feel like she was looking for some, oh, this is something that only she knows about him. This is something that they, you know, this no one else would know. No, this is small talk while you're wedding dress shopping. Like the lady's about to bring out another dress in a second. So like, why would I give you an answer that I need to pause? We're doing something else. We're not at dinner discussing this. This, you know, I just did not get this.
Yeah. And to preface that question, she tells the cameraman, hopefully a different cameraman than the one that had the awful joke earlier, who was like, what did she say? I have it in my notes here. Yeah. My biggest fear is a baby being involved in her taking the baby to Brazil. Ma'am, you're wedding dress shopping, not trampoline shopping. Why are you jumping to conclusions like this? What is this?
You're mad at something that just has not even happened yet. Like there are a million steps before that. Like we're just trying to get to the aisle. We're trying to get her to walk down the aisle. Let's focus on that.
Yeah. And to me, you know, they're just as bad as Thais's dad. Thais's dad had some preconceived notions about American men. And to me, they're doing the same thing to Thais, where they're like, oh, yeah, if they have a baby, I feel like she's going to leave. Like, based on what? You don't know her. You don't know anything.
That literally should be first and foremost. Like that, I mean, just getting to know her. You want to be able to know that your brother is marrying someone who you feel good about. Like, all this picking around intentions, someone's going to only give you the answer that you want to hear. People can show you through their actions what their real intentions are. So, okay, from this, let me just get to know you as a person.
Now, I have a question for you, and let's see if this fits, the theory fits. What if John is snitching? What if she's getting secondhand intel from John about how things are? Because John obviously is also part of the family. Now, we've not really seen John interact with his sister, their other brother who they visited, or the mom. So we don't know how connected John is. But do you think there's a world where John is putting some of these doubts in the family's head because he's telling them what he's seeing?
That's a great point, because I've felt a way about John. And I remember, so my mom is an avid 90 Day Fiancé watcher.
Hey, love that.
Right? She listens to this podcast.
What?
Yeah, hi. She does. Hey. so her and I were talking about John, and she was like, no, John has every right to feel how he feels because he's a protective brother and he's just looking out for Patrick. And I've just always felt uneasy about John because of boundaries. But that very well could be it, because John is not getting through to Patrick. And if I think to myself, like, if you put yourself in those shoes, you're not getting through to someone, you're going to vent to someone else. There's no way John is keeping this all to himself, especially with Patrick is just like, you know, he's all in on Thais, and he hasn't budged or listened to John in a lot of these situations. So even if it wasn't with like ill intent to say like, oh, watch out for Thais, she's coming, I want you to know this about her, he probably has vented to them of just like, this is what Patrick is dealing with.
Yeah, I do think that ultimately this could have been a vent sesh that has now turned into, because if the family, again, if this is a family that's very protective over each other and John is the indicator for that, then mm-hmm. I could definitely see them all, you know, taking each other's words with a lot of weight, right? With a lot of weight behind it. So I could definitely see that being the case. Now, when it comes to all of this, she sees a dress she likes, she tries it, she's about it. Okay, good. This is exciting. Love that for you. Now we get to 7 days away from the wedding, and they're out for food with Tiffany, Patrick's mom, and family friend Alicia, who doesn't say a lot or do a lot, but also I felt at one point was asking too many questions for someone who doesn't need to have any 2 cents offered.
Right. I'm like, you're acting like a cousin rather than like a family friend. Like, these are, I didn't understand why she was there, unless it's like one of those like, oh, we've been in each other's life so long, we're family.
But yeah, but it's like, well, we just met you, so we're going to have some thoughts.
Yeah.
So conversation went to, you know, spicy food, and Thais again, on for me. And mom's like, well, you're Brazilian and you don't like spicy. Hold on. People, not everyone in every region will like everything that region may be known for. And even then, Thais was like, yeah, that's not us. Our food's not that spicy.
Right.
Like, you are wrong. That you are thinking of Mexico, ma'am. That is where you were thinking of. And I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. Please.
So awkward. Yeah. Food preferences are just food preferences. Like, we can't even like that. It does not matter where you're from. You like what you like. So that was just like for her to just say that and associate it with the place. That's already, you know, all kinds of stereotypes.
Yeah. Like my family, my dad and my sister do not mess with spicy food at all. Me and my mom mess with spicy food quite a bit. And we all are all from the same house. So leave your nonsense at the door, please. And thank you.
Please.
But so then Asia here, Tiffany asks another question, ask if she's homesick. And she's like, oh, yes, absolutely. I'm homesick.
Yeah.
To which then Tiffany says, yeah, I feel like every time I'm asking her a question, she's being very vague. What do you want? A dissertation? A 1,000-word essay? I miss home. Because home is where the heart is, and my heart is here, but my mind belongs to Brazil. My father, like, what do you want? What do you want? A word poem? Ugh.
Yeah, because it's like, you hear homesick, and people naturally have, like, a negative connotation. Like, oh, you just miss, like you want to be home over being here. Whereas Thais was like, yeah, I'm homesick. Like, yeah, of course, you know, home is home. And the fact that she later associates this with like, oh, you know, I've been trying to figure her out. And what I'm getting from this is she doesn't want to be here. She is only here for Patrick. I'm like, isn't that what you want? Like, isn't the whole you want to make sure that she doesn't just want to come to America and doesn't have good intentions. Like, this is the whole purpose. You want to know that she loves your brother, and that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, she's not here for the red, white, and blue. We don't want it. That's what I'm getting from her, because that might be the nicest thing, right? Is that if you think, oh, she's not here for America, she's here for Patrick, that's devotion right there.
Right.
So even if that's the read, which I think she's enjoyed parts of the States based on what we've seen, she loved Vegas. So I don't think she's fully out. She even said she likes Dallas, because the question was, do you think Dallas is home? She's like, yeah, I think so. I like Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think she preferred Austin, but that's fine. She's making her peace with Dallas. Mm-hmm. So again, this is more of conclusion jumping with very little information. It's like you're complaining that she's being vague, but then you're giving us conclusions that you cannot draw from vague statements.
Exactly. I feel like she's being, in this situation, I mean, Thais has had her moments, okay, across the season. But in this specific situation with meeting them and answering these questions, I feel like she's being pretty direct, especially at this dinner. She is homesick, and that's totally fine to miss the home that you came from. And the fact that she's here for Patrick, and she's not here for the country, she's here for this man that she wants to be devoted to. So that was just frustrating.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of the family inserting themselves into a situation they don't know anything about, really. Yeah. And you know, part of it we have to put some on Patrick, because he hasn't given them the full, like, they don't know exactly where they stand. Obviously, when you come to visit family and you're like, yeah, we're getting married in a week, the family can assume that, oh, wow, this is final. They're doing this. It's happening. But Thais still doesn't know. Like, Thais is still dealing with her dad's opinions that are really shaking her to her core. So it's on him a little bit, but also, again, the family's very imposing and very much like there's no boundaries of what can we talk about and what can't we talk about. I feel like they need to be more vague, and they're not.
True. And I guess that is a good point, that she still, all the way through this trip, is still very on the fence, but she's not giving that. Like, you don't, from her interactions, like, you, if you didn't know that detail, you would think that, okay, yeah, in a few days she's about to marry him. I kept forgetting that she was still on the fence.
Yeah. And at this dinner, like at the tail end of the dinner, Patrick's mom starts getting a little bit more vocal, and she's like, you know, well, Patrick isn't going to move to Brazil permanently, so you're going to have to kind of make your peace about living here. And then later, her mom was like, okay, my oxygen levels are low. I didn't bring a replacement battery, so we have to leave. So as they're leaving, we get a confessional from the mom that says, yeah, I don't think they're ready to get married, and I don't think she wants to get married. And then the mom was like, I've been married 4 times, you know, second time's a charm, third time's a charm, no, fourth time. She was like, and I think Patrick, unfortunately, has taken after his mother in that sense, because he has been divorced once. So I thought it was very, like, you, again, y'all are putting too much weight behind this off of one dinner.
Yeah. And I was like, are you blaming Patrick or you're blaming her? Because for her to say Patrick is taking after her, like, okay, that means Patrick is going to be in these multiple marriages. Are you just saying he's not picking the right women?
Yeah, like, he's doing wrong, or are you blaming it on Thais? Because right, you essentially said, well, Thais, he's not going to move to Brazil, so you're going to have to make your mind up, or, you know, like, you know, be okay with what you're getting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the last bit we got with Patrick and Thais here. On the next time on, they're at some boat party, and it's more of Thais not knowing if she's happy and if she's ready to be with him. And she's talking to someone who I couldn't make out who it was. Could it have been Alicia, the family friend? I'm not sure. I don't think so. But
yeah, I was trying to place her face, but I can't remember if that was her or not.
Yeah, the friend essentially told Thais, well, if you're not ready to get married, you don't want to get married, you should just tell him. Which I thought, this family just doesn't do advice well. Like, really, you want her to break the news to him while he's doing backflips off a boat? Like, that seems like a mistake.
Right. Like, never break up with someone when you still have to journey back with them somewhere.
Yeah. In a public setting.
Yeah. I mean, but that does also remind me of the mom's advice at dinner, where she was saying, like, you know, she was telling Thais that her relationship with Patrick is going to be more important than her relationship with her dad. And so I thought that was interesting tidbit. I feel like both relationships are important. It's not that, you know, I mean, I guess everybody has different thoughts about that, of like which relationships trump whichever other relationships. But I don't know if this is something that, you know, Thais is going to continue to think about on next week's episode, when she's thinking like, okay, I love him, but should I care more about my dad's feelings about this?
That's the thing, is that I feel like the way I see it is that different aspects of your relationships and your life do shift as you, you know, grow older, or you end up in a different scenario. So for example, for the first 19 years of my life, I lived with my family. My parents would be the most like connected that I was with. They know where I'm going, everything that's going on with me, top to bottom. But, and then I moved away. I had my own life going on, roommates. So they're going to know more. And then obviously once I move in with my wife, now she is the one who knows everything. My parents are still important to me. My old friends are still important to me, but they're just by virtue of not being here every day are going to know less, or going to be connected less. That doesn't mean they matter less. Right. It just means that the dynamic has changed. And obviously that happens as we grow older and as the world around us starts changing and we're in a different environment. So that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, I mean, and that makes total sense. So, you know, I think she should care, but I think she should care in a way of like, okay, how can I make both worlds exist? How can I make my dad, how can Patrick win over my dad so he can see that, you know, this is for me? Or if you don't think there's any chance of that, then, you know, maybe this marriage doesn't need to happen. But I think that's why she's on the fence. It's not like she's just fighting to stay in the U.S.
Right. And I feel like there's no wrong or right way to stuff like this, because some people will say, you know, if my family doesn't approve of my partner, I don't think I could proceed with that. Some people will be of the mind of, no, I know what's best for me. And if I love someone, I love someone, and my family will either have to be okay with it, or we deal with it when we get there, because I'm not going to fold. So, and I have had friends who have, you know, treated it differently each way. So to me, I feel like I sympathize with Thais being in this place where she doesn't know exactly how she wants to go about this and whether or not this is the right call for her. But I could also understand potentially less, but still I can understand others seeing it and being like, well, isn't this your man? Isn't this the one you want to be with? So what's the holdup? What's the worry? What's the hiccup? Like, you know him, your dad doesn't know him. So you obviously know he's not as bad as your dad is assuming, because he doesn't really know him. So it's complicated, folks. Families are a complicated business, but at the end of the day, let the person who has the most familial ties make the decision of how they want to go about it. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Great. So all right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back here, we will talk about the first marriage of the seven couples of this season, and that is Kara and Guillermo. All right, Asia, let's get into maybe the shortest marriage we're going to talk about on this season of 90 Day Fiancé, because if you blinked, you missed this completely. It did not happen.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I just have a vivid memory of Guillermo just looking very adorable, and Kara getting, you know, she is, she is well prepared for the wedding. She has a very cute hairdo, but it's very straightforward. You know, they get ready. They, talk about some doubts, of course. And then they get married. It was just very straightforward. It's very much so what I expected from seeing them early on when they had, you know, the smallest of issues here and there. But, you know, I'm not surprised that they were our first wedding.
Yeah, honestly, given the way we saw them, Liana nailed this the first week. She was like, they seem nice and they seem boring and we're not going to see a lot of them. Look no further than the wedding that we really didn't see. Turns out, and I believe I have this right. So obviously they showed us in the middle of the season, the little flashbacks of when they looked at venues, when they talked to the person who was going to officiate. And all of that is culminated in this German beer hall venue that they've gone for the wedding. Mm-hmm. And we see Kara ask for some liquid courage, a little bit of champagne to get the buzz on before the wedding. And then we did see a very sweet segment of Guillermo talking about how he wishes his brother could be there with him because, you know, he'd always talked about his brother being his best man and being right next to him. And obviously he's lost his brother during this season. So I was very sad to see that. He did have his family on Zoom so they could watch the wedding, which I loved.
That was cute. Yeah.
That was very cute. And, I thought the ceremony was very sweet. It was very fun. I think, did Guillermo pronounce achieve wrong? And she corrected him and he's like, yeah, good. Yeah. Okay.
Right. I think he said achieve.
Yes, he did. Which, again, also words. So that's valid. It was not, mm-hmm. It was just different words. I love this. I love this. Again, very happy. Good for them. Yes. I'm excited to see where their life takes them. Yay for Kara and Guillermo. They were not on the next time on. This might be the last we see of Kara and Guillermo until the reunion.
Right. Yeah. Unless they care to show us anything about, you know, going on a honeymoon or something. Because, you know, I would like to see them again. I like him. And I like her when she's at her best with him. And I was glad she finally admitted that he deserves what he wants in a wedding too, even though it wasn't exactly what he wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, was this place still open for business when she was walking down the aisle? Like, it seemed like people were at the bar.
I think they rented out a little section. Mm-hmm. I don't think, cause I think if you're going to get the whole, this is a beer hall. I feel like a beer hall has a lot of traffic, a lot of revenue. So if you wanted to get the one day, I feel like that would have been costly. So I do think they got a little segment rented out and then mm-hmm. I think people were still able to, you know, conduct business there still.
Gotcha. But yeah, like you, I'm so happy for them. I thought it was a really sweet wedding. I think as long as they keep up their communication, like, they'll be great. I think there'll be somebody we'll see on Pillow Talk and, you know, they're a very cute couple and he seems very happy. She seems very happy. So I'm happy for them.
Yes. And I will say I'm of the mind of you always need one normal couple in this franchise where
balance it out.
Yeah. You need a couple that's just nice. You have Kenny and Armando in the other way that were delightful. You need a normal couple to just offset all the nasty that goes on and all the like frustration that you get. The Bilals, yes, the even Muhammads. So that's something you 100% need. So that's why I'm going to be sad to see them go, especially if we're now going to go for the next 2 weeks without them on the road to the reunion. It's going to be a lot, but hopefully I think you're right though. I don't think we're going to see them again on another season of anything, but I think we're going to see them on Pillow Talk. They seem prime mm-hmm. for a Pillow Talk spot for sure.
Yeah. Cause if they're on another season, they're going to have to bring something, some type of conflict and they just can't. I think they produced the most they could out of them this season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they'll be cute to check in with on Pillow Talk.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's move over to a couple, you know, speaking of nasty, Bilal and Shaida are next on the list here. And this was an interesting turn because we ended up kind of immediately going into the next scene with them, which for like the last, as long as I can remember, it's been the battle of the prenup. Here's the prenup. I don't want a prenup. I feel like you don't trust me. No, I trust you. I'm just looking out for my business. And then the ex-wife comes in and she's like, yeah, I'm protecting my children. You sign the prenup. It's like, oh, I'm not going to sign the prenup. Then the lawyer says, hey, don't sign the prenup. I'm going to write a new one. Send the new one out. But all of this is happening. We zoom into 10 days from the wedding. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Shaida is having a one-on-one with Bilal's mom. Asia, can you run us through what went down here?
So it turns out that like Shaida wanted someone to talk to. So Bilal called his mom to come over to talk to Shaida, right? And Shaida just wants to be more at peace. And so she's really getting some advice from his mom. And I remember one of the very first pieces of advice she said were like, you know, marriage is about two imperfect human beings holding on to each other and not letting go, which is great. Right? Great advice. Mm-hmm.
Love that line.
Yes. And then it took a shift where Shaida started crying because, you know, her mom is pointing out, you know, how Shaida can lead from behind, how, you know, different people handle trust and how people, you know, some people need to be trusted or some people trust until they don't anymore. And some people need to find a reason to trust you. And she was just, I mean, she was spitting out all these gems, right? Just coming at Shaida. And it, like, once they were done with that conversation, because this it was causing Shaida to really reflect on their relationship and, you know, really her feelings for Bilal. And her mom, Bilal's mom, came to the conclusion that, you know, she knows that Bilal thinks the world of her, but she's still guarded, or and he's still guarded as well. Like, he's guarded because he's been hurt in the past and he's had to deal with, you know, heartbreak, which has led him here to why he is guarded. And basically coming out of this conversation, Shaida said, like, she just does not want to be the demise of this relationship.
Yeah, which I feel like the mom came in and kind of gave her some truth bombs, some of which, you know, may have opened her eyes to potentially, oh, if I let the guard down, if I don't try and win these battles, we can work on stuff together and that could be better. Whereas if we're both guarded up, we're both trying to get a W, we're never going to get there. And that's really what I felt like happened here, which part of me was happy with the advice that Bilal's mom gave, but part of me was like, could Bilal have also been sitting here and listening? Because I would love for him to also agree with you.
I literally thought that. I'm like, why is everybody that needs to hear this advice not here? Like, he is the main one. All these things are like little reminders or things that just need to be amplified a little bit for her. You know, she knows it, but now she can apply it. Now that she was really hearing it in a different way. Bilal was the main one in this relationship who needed to be sitting right there listening.
Yeah. If he had been there, I would have been a lot happier. This would have been a lot more fun of a scene as well, because mom comes in, hits her with all of this. And then the next scene is Bilal and Shaida talking through some of this stuff. She's like, well, first of all, actually, no, you don't have to talk about this.
Yes.
First of all, Shaida is preparing dinner. And Bilal will not let go that the meat is still frozen. And like, oh, so clearly it's still frozen. So you must have not taken that out until like recently, huh? Sir, if you're not going to put on an apron and join, don't talk. Please stop it. And she segues with, yeah, I had to start working on dinner late because your mom was here and we were having a discussion. And he's like, oh, how did that go? So then she starts explaining to him that, like, your mom gave me some things that I needed to hear. And it kind of opened my eyes to some of the stuff that's been going on. And I think this ended up working a little bit, where basically they start talking about the prenup, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know what? I'm fine to sign it. I'll sign the prenup. I'm okay with that. I want us to succeed. I want us to be together. I'll sign it. And he says, I appreciate that. Well, also, you know, you talked about the your business and you wanted to do the yoga. So I want you to succeed. I want you to have that stuff. So we can put that in the prenup as well. And in the confessional, Shaida was like, well, oh my God, I let him have the lead. You know, he can be the head. I can be the neck, but I let him have the lead. And then he ended up volunteering, putting my stuff in the prenup. So that worked. That was great. And I was like, yay, but also I'm so nervous that this is going to immediately be taken advantage of in the future.
Yes, because it was, it wasn't like it was compromised. I know she, you know, she was explaining it in a way that, like, okay, this is the compromise that we're coming to. But it very much so felt like her settling to what he wanted.
Yes.
Right. And so she's like, okay, well, if, you know, as long as you put in, I have a child before 40. And the best he could say was, I guess so.
Yeah, it took her a lot of work to make him say more, because she was like, okay, well, there's one other thing. I would like to have a child before 40. And that's something I absolutely need. He says, I guess. Or she's like, no, I guess so. It's either yes or no. I want a child before I turn 40. And I would like to see it in writing as well, please. And then he takes some time. He thinks, he's like, yeah, we can do that.
Which, he's the worst. Oh, I can't stand him. It's like the, anytime he's talking, it's like the, that Arthur meme with like the fist balled up.
Yeah, the Arthur fist.
Yes. Like I just, he's just, it's like he is intentionally trying to be irritating. And I just don't get it. Like from the moment, you know, from the beginning of this conversation with the frozen meat, just, are you trying to make her mad? You're trying to push her buttons. You like, it just, it's like he's trying to find her breaking point to be like, yes, I knew you couldn't, like, you know, keep your cool, or I knew you weren't ready for this, or I knew you weren't, that you didn't, you know, you wanted me for this or whatever. And it's so frustrating because I feel like she has been so good to him. She's beautiful. She doesn't deserve this treatment that he's giving her. It's like he's trying to make her seem, he's trying to make her be like, okay, I'm so worthy of this man. And it's just like, can you please stop?
It always feels like when he starts a conversation, he has to start it by putting her down to always get the high ground and then be speaking from like the high ground, yeah, which I despise from him. Ultimately, when it came to this prenup sign, because one of the things that I think Bilal's mom was able to highlight in the conversation that I think made Shaida be warm up to the idea, mm-hmm, was the mention of Allah and like how in, you know, where we come from, the man is typically like in the lead, mm-hmm, but that doesn't mean we don't have control, but you know, we let him lead the way and then we can also work alongside and control moving forward, which is, I think, what lent Shaida to give him the lead and just be like, all right, prenup central, we're going, I'm signing. So then obviously Bilal offered up a little bit. And now here we are. He has agreed to this prenup. It looks like they're on the same page. And, you know, a lot of us not being fans of Bilal are looking at this sideways a little bit, but mm-hmm, I think we're all systems a go here, Asia, for this wedding to proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still nervous though, because it's very much so, okay, yeah, okay, I can compromise on a child, you know, situation, but then him in the confessional, I think, you know, I don't want to have a child too early. She's 37. Okay.
Yeah, 40 is not that far away. That's just 3 years.
He's thinking, you know, he's probably thinking, oh, as long as we can get to 39, then maybe we can consider it. But it's just like, no, I need you to not think that you always have the upper hand on her and just can say whatever in the moment and then go back on it later, because this is like her one request. She doesn't ask for much. She's not asking for, you know, the entire world. This is her one request. And if he can't do it, then she needs to know that now before they walk down the aisle.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve to have to like wait and spend a couple years with him only to then find out that that's not going to happen, you know?
Exactly.
So I hope that that doesn't happen. I hope she gets what she wants. But speaking of what she wants, so the next time on, I was so ready, Asia, to come in here and stir up all the shit, because in the next time on, obviously Bilal's sister was in charge of her wedding dress, and Bilal's sister has now brought this wedding dress over to Shaida, and Shaida's like, this is not what I wanted. This looks like old. I don't like it. It's like an old lady dress. And then we hear Bilal's sister say, sometimes the customer don't know what they want. And I was ready to be like, are you joking me? This is her wedding. She should get what she wants. And then I saw an exchange between you and Jason Reed, your co-host for the Married at First Sight podcast, that Jason thought that pranking might run in the family and this is an elaborate prank, and I wanted to throw out my computer.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, Jason, you are a genius. That is probably exactly what this is. Because when I saw that hideous dress, I said, there is no way, no way that this is no way that she would think she would like this. That was my thought. And I was thinking, she's probably out of time. And like, why is she in this predicament? But that is absolutely it. Bilal wants to see, can she handle, how is she going to treat my family in a tough situation? He's just constantly testing her. And, you know, there was a great quote from Joseph 25 from this current season of Big Brother, where he said, just because you're strong doesn't give us grounds to test how strong you are. That's literally what Bilal is doing constantly to her. He's constantly pushing the limit to see how caring she is, how strong of a woman she is, how kind she is. And he thinks that by testing it, he's going to find out the truth, when it's just right. Like, let her actions show it. What is, and I know I'm already mad, and this may not be it, but I feel like Jason hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. I think he's nailed it, because wasn't the sister in on the plans, the prank plans? She knew, right?
His family did know. I do recall that. Cause he did tell his mom. God. I don't know. And I remember he told his mom after the fact.
Yeah. Oh, would you like to hear some breaking news?
Oh, yes.
So apparently in one of the season previews earlier in the season, they did show us the dress Shaida gets married in, mm-hmm. and it's not the dress that we see in this next time on. So 100% it's a prank.
It's just why? This woman shows you constantly with how she is with your children, how she's great. Have you seen her social media presence? I swear, I don't even follow her. Her Instagram posts always come up on my feed because they're like, oh, you might like this. Mm-hmm. And she's an amazing yogi. Like, she can pull out some amazing moves. I'm like, she could have a presence and build her brand here with, I'm sure, without his help. And it's just like, clearly how I'm feeling right now is like, he just doesn't deserve her. Because it's just like, what are you doing? Oh, that's frustrating. That's frustrating.
Yeah, oh my God. Now, I have a question for you. I'm going to ask you to predict something for me in the tell-alls. Do you think Bilal will prank someone at the tell-all this season?
Oh my God. I think it would depend on the state of him and Shaida. Like, if they're together and well, because I'm totally unspoiled, like you mentioned last podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they're together and well, he might, because he might be trying to make light of his pranks. Like, oh, I'm just such a jokester. I'm such a fun guy. But if they're not well, I don't think so. So.
Yeah, if they're together, I could definitely see him doing some kind of prank because he fully thinks he's in on the joke, or he's getting to do something, you know, it's his thing. He controls the audience. I'm not ready for it, but I think we could see it for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I'm pretty annoyed.
Yeah. Same. Big same. All right. Let's take one more quick break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about our last two couples here.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
All right, we're back. I said last two couples. It's really one couple and a third, because Jibri and Miona had the shortest segment of all time this episode. It was one scene, and the scene started from their door to the house all the way to their car door to leave. That was it.
Yes. I was just glad they were actually leaving. I thought it was going to be one of those temper tantrums and he was going to talk about leaving, but he wasn't going to have the guts to actually do it because it's Jabri. Mm-hmm. But okay, they actually, it took them a week to figure everything out to go to Joshua Tree, and they're actually doing it.
They're actually doing it. They are not only going to go there for the wedding, but they've got a, they've gone to Joshua Tree. They're going to be staying there. They've rented a little place where the wedding venue is going to be. So they're full on moving out. And he's been avoiding his mom since the conversations about moving out really has happened.
Really grown man behavior.
Very
avoiding your
so.
Mom because of a disagreement y'all had.
Yeah, for like, what, a week? That's a long time to avoid each other. But he somehow managed to pull that off. And now, obviously, he goes back into the house to say goodbye to them. And he's very sad, which makes sense. Mama's boy, Jabri here. They leave. And then he tells us that he hopes they surprise him at the wedding. My guy, stop living off dreams. You have to stop. That is a fairy tale, Disney movie type fantasy you have of, ooh, maybe I'll look down at the hall and I'll see my yeah. mom smiling at me. Like, no, they yeah. said they're not coming. Don't give yourself false hope.
Right. He's like imagining himself at the altar. And before yeah. Miona walks out with her dress, here comes his mom. Coming down the aisle, winking at him and taking a seat, and him breathing a sigh of relief.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No, she said she's not going. So she's not going.
Which becomes even more obvious in the next time on when he is seen offering to buy his mom a quick plane ticket so she can come to the wedding. If she doesn't accept this from him, she did never want it to come in the first place. We've discussed on this pod of maybe the time off, maybe it couldn't work because they couldn't book time. If he's fully offering to buy you a ticket for like just a one day affair and you don't go, you never wanted to go in the first place.
Exactly. And she, I mean, moms know their children's financial situation. She's not going to let him buy her a ticket.
She'll do it herself.
Yeah. If she wanted to go.
Right, right.
So... yeah, this is, I mean, I understand he's a mama's boy, but look, this whole situation is he's just handled it immaturely from start to finish. So I can't, his mom, I mean, she pointed out, she said he's impulsive. And when you act impulsively, there are consequences. And this is a consequence. You're not going to have your parents at your wedding because you impulsively decided to up and move well beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck to you. We'll see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could very much see everything going smoothly. Again, a lot of us have said good luck to them. I'm rooting for them. Hope they care for each other clearly. So hopefully everything goes smoothly there and Mahala can find it in her heart to show up and honestly keep Brian at home. I don't like Brian. Brian is annoyed. Like Brian is giving me the same vibes as Brandon's dad. Remember when like Ron and yes. Betty, where Betty was very involved and very much trying to manipulate Brandon, but mm-hmm. Ron was just kind of the quiet one. And then Ron became the, I'm now the loud one. And I hated it. And it's the same with Brian. Brian, go back to the saucepan. Leave us alone. Please.
Yes. It's like, Brian, where have you been? Don't come chiming in on the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden.
It you matters. Cared. You don't yeah. care. Stop it. Oh my God. Okay. So then the biggest upset, surprise, shock of the episode for me was this last couple, Asia. And yeah. I've never been excited to talk about this couple. I've yeah. loathed talking about this couple the whole season. I'm so excited to talk about this couple right now. It's wild. It's wild that we've gotten here.
Me too, because I want to say we only got two scenes from them, but I think there was a twin that Muhammad has that we had no idea about that came in for the second scene that we had with them, because yeah. I don't know who that man was.
Who was this man? Where has he been for the first... for the first 53 days of this journey, because I don't know who you are. So We go in 37 days left for the wedding. And obviously they've been having a lot of arguments about their cultural differences these last couple of weeks. And Muhammad's very quick to bring up, yeah, and that weird fire ceremony. I didn't know what that was about. He's like, I'm going to talk to my mom. I feel like my mom, you know, I value her opinion. She's going to help me figure out what I want to do. But then he also is quick to tell us that he typically tells his family that everything's okay, so they don't worry about things. I think my parents don't listen to this podcast. I do the same thing. They worry so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like, I just worry because you're, you know, out in North America on your own. I'm like, yeah, but I'm 30. Yeah. I've been doing it for a decade now. I'm fine. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm good. But because of how much they worry, typically if there's like, and like, obviously I'm doing fine. Everything's fine, like generally and genuinely, but if there's like a little small thing of like, oh, you know, I had a toothache or, you know, I hurt my elbow doing this, I will never tell them because they have a tendency of starting to worry a lot. So I kind of understood him here. But when she asked him if he's feeling comfortable and he said that, I said, Muhammad, please share everything. Don't say everything's okay because it's not okay. And you're lying. Don't lie.
Right.
Oh,
because of anybody, he needs someone to talk to because clearly they just were. I mean, they're at the point of just like butting heads constantly. I'm like, before this episode, I was like, why do they even like each other? Because we haven't seen that. I'm like, y'all seem miserable. Clearly, last episode, yeah, where is the love? Because last episode, he's asking, you know, oh, I'll just get a different sponsor. Right. Like what? Like that's not how this works. So I was just really questioning what even is the draw. Like, why do y'all decide like, okay, marriage is something we should do. So I was very glad that he did decide to tell his mom that they, you know, about the cultural differences.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that the way he segued into this was he asked his mom a question. He said, should she wear clothes like, you know, women in Egypt wear or no? And mom, bless Mama Muhammad for coming in clutch with this response. Yes. She was like, she lives in a different place, so you can't force or impose our traditions on her. You have to adapt to the environment you're in. Do not control her and let her do what she wants. You have to adjust yourself in a nice way without being grumpy. And then he said, am I being grumpy? She's like, yes, you are a grumpy person. You are being grumpy for sure. And yeah. He was shocked. He said, I'm very surprised that my mom was completely on Eve's side.
Yeah. He was like, you know, and his, you know, I think it was Sasha that said he speaks in like lowercase, but yeah, in his lowercase fashion, he was just like, I'm amazed. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mom's mouth that she thinks that I shouldn't impose my traditions on her. Like I have to adapt. What? He was shocked.
A concept. Yeah. He couldn't grasp it. And then the mom also told him, you know, try and not upset her. She's a kind, good woman and don't get yourself in trouble by expressing your opinions. Basically saying, no, shut, stop it. Don't do it. You're doing too much. Right. And this kind of turned everything on its head, Asia, because similar to some of these other 90-day counterparts, the parents' advice really seeped into to Muhammad. I think he finally realized that, okay, I can have things I like and things I want, but I cannot force someone to have to do it that way because I've seen it be that way. And I think someone like his mom, who follows and practices a lot of those traditions and you know, the culture that he's familiar with, telling him that, oh no, that's not what we expect of her. That's not how you should treat it or have her. She doesn't have to be that way. I think opened his mind to the idea that, oh, that's fine. Okay. Then I think I could have been wrong this whole time.
Yeah. He's like, it was as if he had a realization that like, okay, everything I've believed up to this point is the opposite. Like, was it a lie? Like, what should I lean into? What is the truth moving forward? But this literally was the wake up call he needed. I did not even think it was possible. I didn't know what it would take. I thought they were just kaput.
Same. I thought it was done for them. I really didn't see a return, but this is really turning it on in the fourth quarter and turning it around, because the next scene might have been the most adorable thing we've seen this episode outside of Karen and Guillermo getting married.
Yes. I was shocked. You know, like, he decides, okay, we're going on a date. And even, you know, it starts out in this typical fashion of, you know, she's looking at the wine menu. He's like, oh, there's desserts. And she's like, no, I'm looking at the wine menu, but I'm not going to order it. Mm-hmm. I thought this would have been a perfect opportunity for him to be like, oh, no, no, you can order
one. I thought he was going to say, you could have a glass. Like, I'm cool. Yeah. I'm chill. Yeah.
This is too far right now.
Too early.
He could get there. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. And then, so he's like, look, let's just forget about what happened and start over. And she's like, okay, this is new. Okay. You know, I'm still feeling a bit guarded, but okay. And he's like, well, it's a beautiful view here. And so I want to show you around, and walks over to this fire. And he's like, look, I got you. These flowers are for you. And she's like shocked by the flowers.
The bar was so low on the ground, Asia, that this bouquet of flowers was like he had paid for a banner helicopter, a whole orchestra. This $20 bouquet did wonders. And honestly, I don't blame her. Again, 57 days, he was a different person until this moment. And he then, as she goes to get the flowers, he gets on one knee and he reproposes. And she was shocked. They shared a kiss. He put the ring on her. Am I a fan of what I'm seeing?
It's like, what is... I literally caught myself smiling and I was like, wait a second. This is Eve and Muhammad. How is this happening? Because it was just like, oh my God. Like, he could have stopped at the flowers. She would have just been just as happy because he asked for a kiss. He put his hand around her waist. And then, you know, of course she says, of course. She's crying. As you know, once he reproposes, and then they're like, okay, let's make wishes at the fire. So she makes a wish, and then he's like, I'll make a wish in my own way. And you know, he prays to, and so it was just beautiful. I was like, who is this man?
They really solved everything. they found peace. Like, conflict over, question mark.
How? I don't know. I did think it was funny, though, where he was like, okay, he asked her, do you forgive me? She's like, yeah, I forgive you. He's like, I forgive you too. So like, she didn't apologize. Yeah,
she didn't ask, but thank you, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny to me. One call to your mom. That's all it took. That's really it. All it took.
Imagine if he had called her after their first little, you know, disagreement.
We'd be in a different place.
Yeah. We would have had their wedding already, maybe.
Yeah. So then, and what gives me hope that I think this is legitimate is the next time on, we didn't see any of Muhammad on. And it was one of Eve's friends talking about how they were a runaway bride and she should choose what's best for her. And
so that's an option.
Yeah. They were like, have you had cold feet about this wedding? She's like, I had frigid feet at some point, which to me indicates that not right now. I think they're fine. Spoiler alert, they are not going to be where they were at the end of last episode in our power rankings, which was seventh. They were seventh out of seven, Asia. They are not going to be at the bottom today. I'll tell you that.
What an upset to the people higher in the power rankings.
I genuinely did not see this day coming. I've had... You could have made me do 100 predictions on this show and I would have paid even Muhammad no mind and not changed my mind on them.
Yeah.
This happened. This is like, wild.
I'm not budging. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go over and look at the power rankings. Like I said earlier, we did do this for episode 2. For last week, I just told you even Muhammad were last, but let's complete our power rankings before I reveal any differences in their ranking. So do you have someone that you feel strongest for to end up in last place here?
Yeah. So there was a point where I definitely, thought Muhammad and Eve would not be together. But then if we take them out of the equation, you start thinking, okay, who is on the verge of breaking up? And that is hands down Emily and Kobe.
Easily. Yeah. 100% same page here. They had a horrible episode. They were sixth place last week. So they're just taking it one step lower. Again, it just seems like clearly they both love Coben. They both have love in their heart for their family, which is great. But she doesn't want to leave the family because she knows that the family is going to be providing for them and paying for the life that they're going to have. And Kobe wants out because Kobe wants a sense of community that he doesn't have right now. Mm-hmm. And they're not agreeing on this. There's a lot of fighting. He's going to use the F word in front of her again, which I'm pretty sure is strike two. And again, like we said, she's going to never forget that. So
when
are they going to get better? I don't know, but I don't think it's this season's not going to be nice to them to end it. So we'll see.
Yeah, not at all.
All right. So that's Emily and Kobe down. As far as fifth place goes, I'm just taking a quick peek at the rest of our couples here. I would probably say maybe Patrick and Thais, I think, take fifth place for me.
Yeah, that I was thinking that as well. I was kind of in between them and Bilal and Shaida. But with Patrick and Thais, the thing that gets me is that she's still on the fence and they are a week away from the wedding. That's not going to change. Those feelings are not going to change. Even if they do go through with the wedding, you're still going to have that sense of like, should I be doing this?
Is she going to? Yeah. And like, is she going to leave me at some point? That doubt is there now. And also, none of his family outside of that one brother we met on the one trip is approving of her or like supporting her in my eyes. Everyone's skeptical of her, which I hate. And he has shown no sign of fixing the problems he's bringing to the relationship either. So there's a lot of red flags for me still to get solved here before we get better. And I genuinely at one point did feel good about these two. They have been second on our list at one point this season. So they have been closer to the top, but fall from grace. They're in fifth place. I did not mean to rhyme there, but it did. Okay, so we'll gloss over that. I think though Bilal and Shaida do take the fourth place spot here. Where obviously this was a turnaround. They have the prenup saga is over. They finally signed it, but we can definitely still see some problems in the horizon here, namely with Bilal's half-assed agreement to the baby and also Bilal's sister pranking Shaida with the wedding dress, which I'm not ready for. Clearly, they've not learned their lesson there. He won the battle as far as the prenup goes, but I'm glad Shaida got the couple things she wanted in there, and I'm glad Shaida feels better. But from the outside looking in, I still feel like I want more for Shaida, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Because, I mean, even just for her to have to include the desire for a child in the prenup, like, it shouldn't have to be in writing. It should just be a mutual desire. If that's something y'all do want for your family to grow and have another baby, it's just the fact that it has to be in writing for his sake is just, it just kind of shows you it what the relationship would be like and kind of sets the tone. So that concerns me because I just want her to be happy.
Same to you.
So period.
Yeah. Yeah. This, you know, off the back of literally Shaida, they make it this far up. If Shaida was not in this equation, this couple would be way lower for me.
Yeah. If we did a power rankings on individuals.
Yeah.
Bilal will be dead last for me.
And Bilal's dead last. Shaida's top three is like, well, how did this happen?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So we're down to the final three here. I think the next couple, I want to go with Jibri and Miona here.
I do like that as well. Because even with them being, because y'all did say Joshua Tree is in California, right?
Yes, yes, we looked it up.
So if you are in California, it's close enough to moving to LA, which is where she wants to be. But, you know, you still have Jibri, who is very immature and doesn't and still needs his mom to help make decisions for him and to support him in this marriage. So I don't know. It makes me really nervous about future decisions that they need to make, and just his ability to make decisions, period. You know, with the fact that he could have had a secure job, but he chose to take his music seriously. And I haven't heard a song, so.
Yeah, I do feel like when it comes to them, their relationship, the love they have for each other is what keeps it strong. Mm-hmm. A lot of the living off of vibes and dreams, I think the harsh realities are right around the corner, but that didn't prevent them from taking the leap. They didn't just, you know, ask the family, can we just stay longer? He's flying out of the nest. Remember, we started the season, he wanted to stay here with her for like months, even a year. And they're moving out. They're moving out before the 90 days are done. So we wish him luck. Hopefully he takes the trucking job or the music kicks off, because they're going to need it. But for now, they have each other, and that's the most important thing. So they can take third place here from us. Now, this is the big question, Asia. One couple completely changed the path they were on. One couple got married.
Yeah. I think it has to be the next. So number two would have to be the one who completely changed the course.
Because they didn't get married.
they have not gotten married yet. And this was one date. Can he keep it up, or will...
We have to leave room to grow.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good shout. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. Of the 14 weeks we've done, even Muhammad were last place for 7 of them. And then were second last place for 3 of them. So they've kind of been living in the bottom. Yeah. And for the first time since episode 3, even Muhammad are back in second place.
Wow.
12 episodes later. I cannot believe what my eyes are seeing.
Took a minute, but they really did it. They did it. But we'll see. We'll see. Can he keep it up? Will he need another phone call to his mom to get back to this Muhammad?
On speed dial. We need it. We need her on speed dial for sure, because if he acts up, we need her to remind him what he's doing and how to go about stuff. You know what's funny is that in episode 3, the same episode 3 that even Muhammad were in second place, Bilal and Shahida were in first place. Yeah, they've not been close to that in a long time. So, yeah, episode 3 was, wow, who was Mike? Was that Chappelle? Might have been Chappelle. I can tell you all you need to know. All right.
Questionable.
Yeah. Last but not least here, I'm going to keep this one very short and sweet. Karen Guillermo, first place. Congratulations on your wedding. That's it.
Yes.
That's the message.
Have a great time. You love birds. Live your life.
Hey, that's it. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Well, Asia, thank you so much for coming in to do this with me today. I had a lot of fun. Let the people know, where can they find you? What else do you have going on and everything in between there?
Yeah. So y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. It's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Tweeting a lot about Big Brother at the moment. So if you watch Big Brother, you can catch me on the round table this week. Talking about some Big Brother 24. We have a lot to talk about. So excited about that. And then of course, throughout the rest of the Big Brother 24 season. And then, like we talked about at the top of the podcast, we have A Perfect Match, which is a Married at First Sight podcast where I co-host with Jason Reed. We have the Love at First Sight feed that you can subscribe to catch all of our podcasts there. We are talking about season 15 that is in San Diego. Right now, you may or may not hear a familiar voice at some point this season. So definitely go check it out. And you can follow me on Twitter, and I tweet about everything I'm doing there.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Asia. And y'all can find me, of course, on Twitter at Puyaism. Again, just a reminder from the top of the show, we will not be talking about Love in Paradise today, but I'll be back with it next week, unless 90 Day Fiancé UK completely changes the game and I opt to talk about that. But we need to figure out a name for the segment at the end of the podcast so we can split it up. If you have any suggestions, at Puyaism, let me know over there. Would appreciate that. As far as other podcasts I've done this past week, I was on Nothing But Netflix with Rob and Chappelle. We talked about the movie The Gray Man, which I did enjoy, so you can check that out. Also, I did the live feed update Friday morning. I will be on a Big Brother recap this week. I believe you can catch me on Wednesday talking about everything that goes down before the veto ceremony. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped. So we'll have that to talk about. And last but not least, if you could leave a rating or review for this podcast, I would very much appreciate it. It allows people to find the podcast. It gives me good feedback from what you like, what you don't like. How can I improve this podcast so that it's the best possible podcast to provide to you? And I want to just say thank you to the last review that I received from KD28. The review was 5 stars and the comment was more fun than the show itself. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I'm not going to lie to you, though. This season has been rough, so I could definitely see why I would get that feedback. Sometimes the show is very good. This might not be that, but we've made the journey fun here on the Hot Mess Express. So I do appreciate that. Thank you so much, Kay. So y'all can find that over on robinswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, the number 0, day fiance. All right, but for now, we've arrived at the destination. I will see you right here once again next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.